chapter number 31, verse number 11. Genesis 31, verse number 11. If you enjoyed that singing, say amen tonight. It's a joy to have Sister Patsy and Miss Robin with us tonight. Good to see this good crowd back on Sunday night. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Boy, didn't stuff go good this morning? I think it's went pretty good tonight. Amen. One day I will. And, you know, I wouldn't smile neither if I wasn't going to heaven. But if I'm going to heaven, I want people to know I'm going to heaven. Thank the Lord for it. Genesis chapter number 31, verse number 11 was our text verse for tonight. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, what a mouthful. Here am I. You know, that changed the total direction of our ministry if we'd all answer like Jacob. I wonder, do you have an answer like Jacob? I want to say something. This body grows weary and tired. There is nothing like serving the Lord. Here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle or their rings draped, speckled and gristled. For I've seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Remember, Jacob married Laban's daughter, Rachel. Remember, he handed him Leah, the tender-eyed one. And then Jacob had to serve 7 more years for Rachel, the one whom he loved. And old Laban, the dad-in-law, tricked him. And he served a long time. God said, I want you to know something, and I want y'all to always remember this. You may think ain't nobody noticing how folks is treating you, but God's a-looking. And he said, I've seen all. He said, Laban ain't had nothing from me. I've seen everything he's done to you. He said, now verse 13, I want you to know something. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now rise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing on to read the Word of God. Father, we love you. I want to thank you how good you've been to us. Lord, I pray now that you'd bring a freshness tonight on the Word of God and help us. I'm a needy preacher, and I pray, God, you'd let me be a blessing a few minutes tonight. God, I thank you for these people that's so faithful. I want to thank you how good you've been to these people. I want to thank you how good you've been to me and my family. Lord, I don't understand it, but I know where my blessing comes from tonight. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We've been dealing with the thought in the phrases of the Bible where Jesus said, I am. Now, I want to say tonight that God is the self-sufficient one. God is God all by himself. Before anybody ever knew there was a God, there was God the Son, God the Father, and there was God the Holy Ghost. The great triune God. Matter of fact, we've been made unto His likeness. We have spirit, we have soul, we have body. Therefore, this great triune God, He stands self-existent. Don't need nobody else to exist. He's always been God, and He's always going to be God. And He's always going to have the last say-so. And I want you to know about this thing tonight of I am the God of Bethel. We had looked earlier where God said, I am thy shield and exceedingly great reward. We'd seen where Abraham went into the battle and rescued Lot, his nephew, in the land of Gomorrah. Therefore he met the kings and did battle. And God came unto him and encouraged him by the king of Salem. Came by, and remember, Abraham paid him a tenth of all that he had. Now this second mention where I want to deal with tonight, where God said, I am the God of Bethel. Bethel means simply the house of God. I think a lot of times that we take for granted what we have at the house of God. Many of you know what you have at the house of God. It's not so much that even though great people go here and we have a nice facility, have a lot of young people, and you've got a preacher that tries to mind the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, it's the God of the building. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God, then we'd waste gas to get down here. And I sure am glad that the presence of God is about God's house tonight. And he said, I want you to know something. Why would he say, I am the God of Bethel? Could it be because that the house of God sometimes gets so blessed and receives so many blessings that they may forget about the blesser? May we never forget where our bread is buttered tonight. God gave me and you life. And listen to me, folks. Listen to your preacher tonight. Life is short. Life is uncertain, but eternity is certain. And if you're going to go to heaven and live with God, you must be born again, is what the Bible said. And the only way that we can be born again is saved by grace through faith. Now, this God of Bethel I'm interested in. We went this morning to that of the first mention, and I want you to look at that, and I want to slow down a minute, and I want to teach a few things tonight that I didn't cover this morning, but I feel like we need to go back and cover some things. And Genesis 28 and 12, now Jacob is running from Esau. Jacob has tricked his oldest brother Esau, and he stole his birthright. And so Esau said, Jacob, I'm going to kill you, buddy. And so Jacob cuts out on a trail and he starts to run. He's looking over his shoulder the whole time. It's bad to live your life looking over your shoulder. And so Jacob came upon a place here, and we have it the first mention. Matter of fact, in Genesis 28 verse 19, after he had this meeting with the Lord, he called the name of that place Bethel. And then look in verse 16, when Jacob awaked out of his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. The last thing on Jacob's mind, when he was running from Esau, that he would lay down and go to sleep, and God would give him a dream. Now, when he awoke from his dream, he seen some things, and he woke up and he said, my, God's in this place. But I didn't know it. And then he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call this place Bethel. And look that up. It simply means the house of God. I think a lot of people in our day and hour is confused about what ought to be going on in the house of God. I'm totally convinced they're confused. And the reason they're confused about what ought to be going on in the house of God, their leadership is confused. You always remember this. A lot of people can only react to the light that they've been given. But I sure am glad we can take the Bible and find out that the God of Bethel, there were some things going on. Now, I said this morning, first of all, at this God of Bethel, the house of God, it ought to be a place of fascination. Not many people dream anymore. Genesis 28 and 12, he simply said this, and he dreamed. There's nothing wrong with dreaming big. Young people, you ought to set your sights on something. It doesn't cost more to dream big than dreaming small. If you're going to dream, you might as well dream big. But the problem, I think, a lot of times is we don't have the right kind of vision. Brother Mike, I want to show you something that that I preached out of a passage last night. I want to show our church tonight. Look in 1 Samuel. Lord just brought it to my mind. It may take me just a second to find it. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and hold your place there in Genesis, but turn over to the right in your Bible and go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 3, right after the book of Ruth. And I want you to look at a passage I'm interested about vision tonight on dreaming. You remember that Hannah, her womb was barren. She prayed for a child and God gave her little Samuel. Little Samuel was raised up under Eli, the high priest of the day. And Eli is an old man now and Samuel is a young man. And we pick him up in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verse 1. Look what the Bible says. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. That word precious, look it up. You know what it means, church? A rarity. Wasn't heard much. And I want to say the word of God is a rarity in this day, in this hour. It's amazing how many Bibles is in the country and so little of it's been preached. Child Samuel, minister of the Lord for Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And look here, there was no open vision. Came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down to his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. How sad that an older preacher would have a young preacher in his presence and he not have no vision. How sad it would be for an older preacher like Eli that God would entrusted him with a young prophet like Samuel and he is letting the lamp go out in the temple. Oh, tonight we better not let the light go out. Because you'll notice that Samuel simply laid down and went to sleep. That's where we are tonight in our Baptist churches across this country. The light of God has nearly went out and people's went stone to sleep. And so the Word of God was precious in those days and there was no open vision. Church, let's have a vision beyond our walls. It's okay to dream again. Some of you need to dream for your family. Some of you need to pray and ask God to do big things. It's amazing what our God can do. Dream big. At your jobs, be all you can be. I always had this concept at work. While I'm there, I'm away from my family and my stuff. So I might as well be all I could be and do all I could do and be the best I could for the glory of God. And so, dream big. I think a lot of times in our church we lose the fascination. Let me tell you, church, God can still do big things. And God is still doing big things in this day and this hour. Now, Genesis 28, a place of fascination. Then you'll notice when he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it in Genesis 28 and 12. It ought to be a place of proclamation. There's one way to heaven tonight, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I sure am glad that God allowed it. He said He set it on the earth. Jesus was born from a virgin, Mary. Born in a lowly stable. And look what this ladder, the Bible simply said, it was set up on the earth. I'm glad that God sent His Son on this earth. And let me tell you something, the top of it reached to heaven. I'm glad there's one access to God tonight. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you something to underline. And it's found over in, you don't have to go there, I'll read it, 1 Timothy. And I want you to look in chapter number 2 and verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, one go-between, between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself, isn't that amazing, a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So God's house ought to be a place of proclamation. Jesus saves. We ought to be able to proclaim the good news every time we come. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a place of fascination and proclamation. And then in Genesis 35, we've seen this morning, it is a place of great dedication. God came unto Jacob. Jacob had had this dream. He'd seen this ladder. Jacob had got away from God. God comes to him and He says, Jacob, rise and go up to Bethel. And then He said this, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when you fled from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. You know, as we've seen this place of dedication, He said, I want you to go up. Every time we go to God's house, we go into higher ground. Because it is a heavenly place, and it's a holy place. It's God's place, and it ought to be different than any place in the world. Is God's house a great place of dedication? And then in Genesis 35 and 7, you'll notice this as He begins to tell him to go back to Bethel, to the house of God. Verse number 7, it ought to be a place of appreciation. He said he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now, Jacob, he used a word there from Bethel and called it El Bethel. El Bethel simply means the God of the house of God. It's a big difference if you've just got a house of God and no God. But he said, I'm going to tell you at El Bethel, there is the God of the house of God. Now, I sure am glad that God's house has a place for God tonight. And so therefore he said, I want you to go and I want you to build an altar. And when he built this altar, it was a place of sacrifice. It'll cost you something to worship God. God's always intended. Here Jacob had to take a lamb out of his flock, lay it on this altar and sacrifice it unto God. I'm going to tell you something. Our worship never means nothing really till it's a sacrifice to God. Many times God asks us to do things in our life that's a great sacrifice. You want to get God's attention? Make a sacrifice. God honors sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for everybody to get back on Sunday night. I know you're tired. We've had a great day this morning. But let me tell you something. God honors sacrifice. I was tired before I got up here, but I'm not tired now. Y'all in trouble tonight. And so God honors sacrifice. You know, if it don't mean nothing to you, it don't mean nothing to God. You ever thought about that? And so it is a place of appreciation. And I want to say this place of the altar, it speaks of the Christ that we worship. But now, three things real quickly I'll be done tonight. I want to say in Genesis 35 and 10, it's also not only a place of appreciation, but God's house ought to be a place of transformation. Look in Genesis 35 and verse number 10. God said unto him, thy name's Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. I'm glad down in God's house he'll make somebody else out of you. Jacob walked in, he said, hey, down at God's house, he said, I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a great transformation. I'm going to make something out of you, even though you're Jacob, and I'm going to call your name Israel. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 11, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. I'm glad there's a new name written down in glory tonight. Now I'm glad God can not only change your name, He can change your whole livelihood tonight. Aren't you glad you can go to church where there's been a transformation, where God's done something new and transformed you tonight by the Spirit of God? No longer am I just a fleshly man. The Spirit of God lives in me tonight. Isn't that amazing? You and I that are saved, the Bible teaches us not only are we sealed, which means a stamp has been put on us, but also the Spirit of God would come and live in us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his, what the Bible said. Isn't that amazing that God walks around in us through the week? We better be careful what we let God hear. Better be careful what we let God see, because the Bible says we can grieve the Spirit of God. We can make Him sad. We can quench the Spirit of God. We can throw water on it when God's wanting to set things ablaze. I love preaching on that fire of the Bible. If I didn't wear it out, I'd preach it here every other Sunday. You know something? If you're going to build a fire at the house of God and a fire breaks out, you don't throw water on it, you fan that thing. Y'all remember that Legion Hall out here? Remember, it used to be a sin of iniquity. Remember what happened in Bowdoin, Georgia, become a rainbow club. Homosexuals come, took it over. Ain't that amazing? Little old hick town in Bowdoin. Don't get quiet on me. I'm still your preacher. And so, all of a sudden, some boys is out there playing ball. I'll never forget, they called me and said, "Preacher, the old Legion Hall's afire. You wants to call the..." What a crazy question. "You want us to call the fire truck?" "No! Call the gas truck!" Y'all, that's amazing. God struck that thing and burned it down. That's amazing. God done that. I seen Him do it. Brother Mike then was able to buy that product, brought a dumpster, Brother David, hauled every brick from that place of iniquity, totally off the property. God let us put up a camp meeting. Ain't God, don't tell me God can't do something. My dad-in-law told me about the property. I said, "Well, we ain't going to build no church down there at old beer joints next door." He kept telling, "Boy, that's a pretty piece of property down there. You all think about it." See, I wouldn't take it in consideration what God could do. I think folks need to have good common sense, amen? But a lot of times we leave God out of the equation. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I sure am glad the Spirit of God is in our church and is working and moving. And folks, help me do something. Help me pray that God would set on sinners again and convict them of their sins and show them the need of a Savior. The house of God ought to be a place of transformation. He said, "Jacob, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to make somebody else out of you." He's still working on me, making me what I need to be. You believe that tonight? I asked you this when you first got to God's house. Are you different now than how God found you? He'll make somebody different out of you. He said, "Your name ain't going to be Jacob no more. You're a swindler, you're a thief, you're a cheat, you're a liar and a stealer, but I'm going to do something that nobody else can do. I'm going to give you a name change." And I sure am glad that God will make somebody else out of you. Place of transformation. Then look in Genesis 35:11. God's house ought to be a place of revelation. Look what God said. "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty." You know what He said in that statement, Brother Jerry? He said, "I want you to know something. I'm God enough." He's God Almighty, and He don't take orders. He don't take nothing from nobody else. He's God all by Himself. You know something? Before we go to church, it ought to be a place of revelation to find out just really who God is and how big He is. And then lastly, I want to say this tonight. not only a place of transformation, a place of revelation, but look in Genesis 35 and 15. Jacob said something there at the house of God at Bethel. It ought to be a place of verification. Hope a light will come on to you tonight. Genesis 35, 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Where you go to church ought to be a place of verification. You see, it's where God speaks to you. I'm glad I can go to church where God talks to me. God has spoken to me through His children. God spoke to me through song. But I'm going to tell you, most of the time when God speaks to me, it'll be by His Word. And I sure am glad the Word of God's still right tonight in the day and hour that we live. It's a place of verification. He said, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Does God talk to you here? Does God give you things for your life? The house of God ought to be a place of verification. I sure am glad we can walk in and God speak to us. You say, preacher, what's big about that? Oh, my God ain't dead tonight. My God's very much alive. He lives in me by the person of the Holy Ghost. And the written Word of God speaks to my heart every time I open this old story. It's amazing to me, the verification where I go to church, where God's saying something. Aren't you glad you go to church where God's saying something tonight? You'd be surprised the people goes to a place that God don't say nothing. When the Word of God's preached, God will say something. And I appreciate y'all being here tonight. Stand with me. I want you to...